How's everyone this morning?
Good.
Okay. Good. So, you know, I'm going to over-announce now. So, what's happening June 8th through the 11th? Anybody remember?
Church camp out.
All right. There you go. So, if anybody doesn't know where that is, come talk to me. Not after, because I know where it is, but all the address. But we'll get that for you. I'll get the map and all that set up for next week. That's coming up pretty soon, so hope you're preparing for that. Then just a couple other things. We're part of HeartReach is one of our missions, and they have the, I know it's kind of late notice, but I just got this week. June 18th is their 5K for life. You can walk, run, bike it, all that kind of stuff. And I have missed it every year. I will hope to, I don't know if we'll get to this year, but that's on, I assume it's a Saturday. Is that a Saturday? Anyway, it's June 18th. So it's Trunk Road Park and Ride. That's where it starts. So anyway, if you want information, there's information back there. And then on June 6th, we're part of Young Life, and they have a big golf marathon for those of you that are golfers. It's at Settlers Bay. They rented out the whole thing for the day. It's 100 holes, so they're doing best ball kind of thing. They call it something different, but I guess everybody's going to have their own cart, and it sounds like it's going to be crazy. So anyway, they're trying to fundraise for summer camp this summer, and if that's something of interest to you, let me know. I've got information on that as well. So I think that's it. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the beauty again of the day, the beauty of the sunshine. Father, I thank you for each and everyone that's here this morning. Father, we just continue to lift up those that aren't feeling well this morning. Father, we just specifically, I pray for Pastor Mike this morning. Father, he's not here. He's just struggling. So we just lift him up to you. We lift him up all his health issues. Father, we just pray that you just touch his body this morning, and that you would just, I just keep praying that you just take all that stuff away, just miraculously heal and restore his body to before all this was going on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and worship.
Power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power. unbelief.
Let it sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Let it sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Let it sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
We're gonna sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
We're gonna sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
We're gonna sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive.
Amen. Amen. God, we thank you so much that you are a God who changes never. The same yesterday, today, and forever. We were just talking this morning in Sunday school about so many things, how truth has been so obliterated. You are truth. Truth is a person. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that we can stand in times that are, I was going to say ridiculous, but that might not be the best word. Unstable. You are our foundation. You are our foundation, God, and we are so grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love. Amazing grace.
thank you so much for the confidence that we stand in because your promises never fail. Our faithful, faithful God, your love endures forever, and your mercies are new every morning. God, we just thank you so much for the reality of that. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your presence. Just your constancy, God. We praise you. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated.
So anybody have any experiences this week? We'll just take a couple minutes. Anybody have any experiences this week? We were talking about prayer last week, and we're going to continue on today. But anybody have any experience last week where you just had a different kind of prayer time, or you had just an amazing prayer time with God last week? Doesn't matter if it was about what we talked about last week, but just in your time of prayer this week, anybody have a really cool experience with God or an answer to prayer this week? Anybody? Yeah. Brian got a job. That's good. That's really good, yeah. So you have to work really hard this summer then, huh? Not you. I'm talking about her. I know you do. But what do you get to do this summer? You and I were talking about this yesterday. Enjoy your baby, right? You don't have to work a job. She can enjoy her baby because you've been working ever since she got here pretty much, right? So, yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Anybody else? Any just cool prayer thing that happened? Doesn't have to be something major. I mean, job's cool. That's good. That's awesome. That's major and awesome, right? Any other things God's answered prayer this week? Just anything. Or just by answer prayer. Just like a man has a really cool experience and God just shared this with me this week. Show me this thing about who I am and how he sees me. Yeah. You know. Whatever, Mom, you watch online all the time. This is my mother-in-law, by the way. If you don't know, this is Devonna's mom. So if you have anything against Devonna, stand up, Mom. Stand up. Oh, ow. Anyway, you think I'm the bad one. Anyway, go ahead, Mom.
It's just amazing how God worked everything out for me to be here. And sweet blessing it is to be with family and kids.
That's cool. And you watch most of the time online before you go to church in Dillingham, right? So she gets double church on Sunday. So, yeah. So just single church this week. You're slacking today. So, no, that's cool. Appreciate having Mom here. I didn't know she was coming because nobody talks to Dad. You know, they just like, I show up at a graduation, Mom's here. I'm like, oh, cool. I mean, it's a good thing. But anyway, yes? Yeah. Sure. Good. Anybody else besides my family? I mean, that's good. Yeah, I saw a hand back there. Yeah, Teresa. Good, good. Sweet time in it. Yes.
Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, a nail in my tire.
You had a nail in your tire.
Well, either nail or something, and the light came on, and my husband said, you need to go down and take care of that. And I'm like, okay, that wasn't on the agenda, but all right. So I did, and I went for a walk, and then I came back, and my car still wasn't ready. And there was a lady sitting there, and we started talking, and
about the tire. The tire was an opportunity to connect. Yeah. And so we can get all grumpy about the flat tires instead of like, yeah.
I put the nail there.
Yeah. See, the thing is, you're talking about the light that came on in your car. You know, some of our cars, we had to listen to that flap, flap. Why is my car driving weird? Right? We don't have those old school cars that don't have lights. Brian, did you have something? Some of your, oh, yes.
Yeah, for the last week or so, we have struggles, family struggles. God is still working.
Good. Amen. He is, for sure. Yeah.
Sunday morning, a doctor come in, we're talking about my case, and I had our church online watching it, and I turned it down, and he's like, can I pray with you a minute? And I went, wow, my whole life, of all the doctors I've ever met, you're the first one to ask me to pray with me. And he goes, well, we know who
yeah, for sure. To have a doctor that understands that. Yes, ma'am.
My husband's job has been kind of crazy. He's been to three different jobs in probably about 2 weeks. And he found out this week that they're finally placed him in one place.
Awesome. Good real fuel economy. Yeah.
God blessed him with a little car that gets like 35 miles an
hour. Oh, that's awesome. Good. That's good. That's awesome. Very, very cool. Yeah. Awesome. That's super cool. Yeah, God cares about the little things. And it wasn't little. No. Right. Because I know your dad didn't care that you found that for him. He's just like, yeah, whatever. Just threw in the trash, right? No, I know what he did. I know your dad's heart. He probably cried a little bit, did he? Did he cry a little bit? No? Okay. Well, that's just me, I guess. See, I'm already crying. I didn't get the four of the clover. That's cool, right? So, anybody else? It was awesome. See, it just takes a few people to talk a little bit about it. We can sit here and do this all day. Okay. You already had your turn. Go ahead.
So, in the last few months, it's been kind of crazy for Brian and I. We've been dealing with cars on the road. So, Brian got in an accident over spring break, not his fault. And we finally got the car back after a month and a half of not having it. And then he got in an accident a week ago, not his fault again. But the nice thing was is that it was kind of the same, like it wasn't his fault and we knew how to deal with the same insurance, so it was kind of not as bad because we knew what steps to take, so it wasn't as unknown, and that was really nice. And we got what we needed, like the car seat and stuff like that, and God just really provided for us.
Yeah, cool. No, that's good. Yeah, it's always crazy to have accidents, but guess he shouldn't be driving a Chevy. Oh, sorry. Oh, cool. One more. Are you raising your hand, Nick, or are you adjusting the camera because I'm wandering? Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, you know, the clothes and go away all the buy there all the time and like meeting
sure. Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. I appreciate it. Well, this tells me we need to do more of this testimony time on a regular basis. Amen. All right. Well, we are still in 2 Chronicles in this one verse, and then we're going to jump into, we're still on this idea of prayer. So 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is our launching point, as it has been for the last couple of weeks. Again, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Last week we looked at Nehemiah, and as I was preparing even last week, and God gave me some other verses, other places to go to, and we're gonna wrap up this idea of prayer. We could stay in prayer for a long time, but I just want us to look at in Daniel chapter 9 is one of the most powerful things. I don't know if we'll get all the way through it this week, because there's, as we'll see as we go through this, there's Daniel's confession, his request before Father, and then Father's answer. And it's a pretty powerful answer. So let's just walk through this morning. We're in Daniel chapter 9, and again, we're not going to be able to get into even close to unpacking this all the way. So again, as I always do, I hope that you hear, not just hear, but you actually go home and you read over this and you listen to Father show you things out of his word that I didn't bring out, because his word is so rich and so full of just all kinds of amazing things. And this is not a prayer that's a very happy prayer, because it's a lot of confession that Daniel's doing here. But I think it's so applicable to, I know in my own life when I sit in these places and at times I need to sit in this place and pray this type of prayer where I'm just being gut level honest before my Father. And so this morning, let's start going through here. Daniel chapter 9, starting at verse 1. The first year of Darius, the son of Hazarias, by descent a Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years, and according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. And here we get into it. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession. And we'll go on. But I just love this thing when Daniel starts to pray. I love this position. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas of mercy with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now, I know there's a lot of times when we sit and we talk, and I know I've talked quite a few times about fasting from different things. For some of us, food's not that big a deal. We could go without food, and it's not that big of a struggle. Some of us, for like myself, taking all the electronics out of my life for a short period of time or for a long period of time or however long God asked me to, that's a bigger struggle because it's become such a part of my daily life, even just normal stuff. But what I thought was interesting is that he turned his face to the Lord God. And as I read that verse, I was thinking of a couple of weeks ago, Goddard and I were out in the yard at the house, and he was talking to me, but he had his back turned. And he was walking away, and I couldn't hear him. I could hear noise coming. That's not because I'm deaf, and there's a piece of that, right? But it makes a difference just turning like this, and then I could hear what his request was. It was a powerful thing. As I read this verse over again over this week, it was like, wow, what a beautiful illustration. Not that God can't hear me, right? But when I turn to him, that changes everything, because now he can hear me more clearly, not that he doesn't need to, right? Because he can always hear me clearly. But it's my position. Now I'm facing the Father instead of I got my back to him. I don't know about you parents, but I know when my children, when they were younger and even now, if they're walking away from him and I'm trying to talk to him, oh, they'll get them in trouble in a heartbeat. I don't want to talk to your back. Turn around and talk to me. Anybody else do that, or is that just me? Am I the only parent that does that? Right, because it's like then I can see your face, I can see the grumpy eyes, I can see, you know, you can see all the body language. I mean, you can see body language from the back, right? Because they try to think that you can't see it. But you can see the attitude, right? The set of their shoulders or the hunched, you know, whatever, right? And so I think this is fascinating. So that here's Daniel. He turns his face to God. And he starts making this prayer. This made this confession saying, "Oh Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments." I love Daniel makes this. He understands who God is. He's under no illusion of that God is anything different than this, that he's great and he's awesome and he keeps his covenants and his steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Daniel is very aware of who his father is. And I think it's important that he understands who his father is so that he could continue to pray this prayer of pretty raw confession. He goes on in verse 5, "We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land." That's some pretty honest praying. He's saying, we've acted wickedly, we've done wrong, we've rebelled, we've turned aside. And to me, more importantly, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name. How often do I hear from brothers and sisters, or I listen to a message online, or I go to a conference, or I listen to the preacher preaching, and I ignore the word of the Lord that's coming out of those individuals' mouths because it's uncomfortable. Or it's pushing on some buttons that I don't want to address. I don't want to sit here and confess that I've done wrong and acted wickedly. I can make, you know, concessions for everything and excuses for everything that I've done. Well, God's not really that bad. What I'm doing really isn't a sin, but yet it is because it's taking a time, it's become first place in my life, or it's taking a time away from spending time with my Father. I love that he says that we have not listened, and he references the kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people in the land. There's no one he leaves out of this list of people who haven't listened. We've all in this place are not listening here in Daniel. "To you, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us open shame." I love this. Listen to this contrast of who God is and what their sin is. "To you, O Lord, God belongs righteousness, but to us open shame. As at this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are near and those who are far away in all the lands to which you have driven them because of the treachery that they have committed against you. To us, O Lord, belongs open shame, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against you." Man, that's some intense praying. Saying that we are open to shame, but to us open shame, to the places that you've driven us because of the treachery that they have committed against God. It's easy to look at children of Israel and go, "Yeah, man, you're really treacherous." How much different are we? How much different are we in our treachery? I mean, again, you know, when I speak, every time I'm pointing fingers at myself and not at you. Whatever God wants to talk to you about is between you and him. But I was saying, there's this last week and the week before when I was looking at this, and as we'll continue on probably next week because I probably won't get through it. There's areas of my life, even now, that God's going, "Son, here's a treacherous place in your life that needs to be surrendered and cut out and surrendered to me. Here's a place that, you know, yeah, this shame, we don't want to feel shame, but there's a piece of that that's like, yeah, I don't want to feel that, so what do I have to do to avoid that? What do I have to do to get in that place of seeing this place? I know that my Father's righteous. I know that his steadfast love is there for me. I know that he has everything for me. All I got to do is turn my face to him and have a conversation. A real conversation. Because here we are, we have sinned against him, but then he continues to show us who Father is. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belongs mercy. And forgiveness. For we have rebelled against him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. I love these moments of truth of who God is in the midst of this harsh, seemingly prayer. Like, God, this is who we are, this is who I am, but I know that belongs. But who you are, there belongs mercy and forgiveness. In the midst of this, in the midst of my rebellion, in the midst of my disobedience, in the midst of me putting other things and other people first, you still have mercy. You still extend forgiveness. And I understand at salvation, he forgives all of our sins. I get that. But there are these moments when we come into those, we catch up to those moments and times when we fail. God's forgiveness and mercy was already there waiting for us. You ever think about that? I've done a lot of messing up since I was 14 years old when I gave my life to Christ. But I have seen in these moments of those mess ups, the instantaneous, like, you know, I can try to be stubborn, but, you know, it just doesn't work well for me. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad that, you know, I tried to have a hard heart for a while, and God's like, yeah, you can try to do your own thing, but you won't be happy, you won't be satisfied, and he was right, because he always is, because his laws and his rules aren't to control, they're to protect, and they're to set me free, right? Because when we think about laws, and we think about rules, we think of these things that control and restrict us, and they just are a bummer. And that's not how God's laws are at all. All Israel has transgressed, verse 11, your law and turned aside, refusing to obey your voice. Man, he talks about that a lot, doesn't he? Just in these few first couple verses, the transgressing, the turning aside, the refusing to obey the voice. The curse and oath that are written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us because we have sinned against him. And again, ever since Mother's Day, I see Moses' name everywhere. That's kind of funny, right? Those of you that have been here for Mother's Day, the power of that. But here we are, the law of Moses. He has confirmed his word, which he spoke against us and against our rulers who ruled us, by bringing upon us a great calamity. For under the whole heaven, there has not been done anything like what has been done against Jerusalem. What a statement. That's a pretty bold statement. And you would think if, you know, Jerusalem is God's city, and if you think about all the things that Scripture talks about, you would think that wouldn't be the case. But I love that we understand that Israel is God's chosen people, and that we, as we become children of God, get grafted into that place. This is some pretty heavy words. As it is written in the law of Moses, all the calamity that has come upon us, yet we have not entreated the favor of the Lord our God, turning from our iniquities and gaining insight by your truth. Wow. What does it take for us to get to this point where we understand who God is and who we are? It's easy to say that. But do we sit in these places, and again, I'm just talking from myself, my own life experiences, is I have sat in these kinds of places, maybe not to this level, but in my own heart and mind, it's been pretty desolate. And some of that was by choice, some of that was by all kinds of different things, but this verse of like, we have not entreated the favor of the Lord our God, turning away from our iniquities and gaining insight by your truth, not my truth. Not what I think the Word of God says. The Word of God is what it is. It means one thing. Now, how it impacts my life is a whole different thing. How I understand it and what God reveals to me in that moment. But will I even get to that point where I want to entreat the Father? Do I get to that point where I even want to come before him and say, God, I want to be at this place of understanding? Yeah, that's what I want. Right. It's good. You can wander wherever you want. She's totally fine. Let her wander. She can even preach. That'd be good. Sounds like you guys were talking about truth this morning, Doug, in your Sunday school lesson about the truth of God's word. About, yeah. Because people today, and I know there's some churches today that don't believe this is the truth. They'll take pieces and parts that they like, and they'll leave out the hard stuff. Because there's a lot of things in the Word of God that are hard to take in. Like, oh. But again, it's all for our benefit. It's all for our good. It's all for carving out, and if we're willing for the light of God's word to shine into our life, and we're not going to hide it, we're not going to try to avoid it, we're not going to try to deflect that light from shining into those areas that need to be dealt with, real change can happen. And I know Daniel understood that, because his prayer just shows us out. I mean, obviously he's in this mode of confession. Verse 14, therefore the Lord has kept ready the calamity that has brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works that he has done, and we have not obeyed his voice. I think Daniel's driving home a point about obedience. And it's interesting that that's over and over again, because that's one of the things in our family, when our kids were little, that was the biggest thing that got them in trouble faster than anything, was disobedience. Would get the harshest punishment they ever received when they disobeyed. We could navigate some other things, but disobedience, there was no negotiation. It was, you know, on the money all the time and quick. And now, Lord, O Lord, our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and we have made a name for yourself, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. And again, hear that contrasting his, like, man, this is who we are, but this is who you are. This is what we've done, but this is what you've done. You've taken us out of Egypt by your mighty hand. He's continually telling, as he's praying, God, this is who you are. Because again, if we get in this place of this confession and it gets this beat down, and then I think when we start to beat down, then the enemy starts to beat down, and he loves jumping on that bandwagon. He loves driving that train. And he loves driving that train right into a bunch of misunderstanding about who God is. So if we can pray like this, like Daniel did, in the midst of those moments of confession that we absolutely need to do, but we need in those moments also to pepper that as God brings to our mind, this, I understand you disobeyed, but this is who I am. I'm a God of righteousness. I'm a God that brought the Israel out of Egypt, right? But we have our own Egypts, do we not? I know we do. Devon and I, in our life together, we've had some Egypts in our life that God has definitely taken us out of. That he's brought us out of in miraculous ways. And in those moments of, and some of those situations I've talked about in the years, and just briefly, we can see God's mercy and grace and forgiveness and righteousness all over it. And those are the only things that keep us connected and sane, if you will, in those moments, because, man, otherwise the enemy's really good about talking to us. He loves to kick us when we're down. He loves to send his little demons around and go, man, go mess them up. They're already down because they messed up and they know it. So go just convince them that God will never forgive them. That he's just going to throw them away. Lord, according to your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city Jerusalem, your holy hill, because for our sins and for our iniquities and our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a byword among all who are around us. This plea for God's anger and wrath to turn away. And again, I know we read through those verse 16 verses pretty quickly, and I understand that. And there's a lot here, so please, please, please go back and read over it. This confession of Daniel before his father, before his God, saying this is who we are and this is what we've done. And we understand the consequences because you are really clear, like if you do this, then I will do this. If you don't do this, then I will do this. And one thing I've learned over the years, that God is a God of his word. He doesn't make excuses. He doesn't deviate. If he says what he's going to do, that's what he's going to do. And if there's a consequence attached to a choice that we make, that's on us. That's not on God. We'd like to blame him. Like, why'd you let that happen? I tried to help you. I gave it to you in black and white, pretty clear. Here's the consequences for your choices. And we'll pick this up next week because there's Daniel's requests of God. Requests of God are just amazing, and then God's answer to Daniel's prayer. So this morning it's like, well, that's a pretty heavy message. Yeah, I know. It's like, what's the takeaway? The takeaway for me, and why I believe Father is like, look, and why I believe God downloaded Daniel in this moment, and Daniel's prayer was like, look, in the midst of our confession, remember who Father is. Because if we don't remember who Father is, I think it's not that it's a wasted prayer. That's not it at all. But it's just a wholly different experience. And again, when we're talking about our children, right, when we've had to discipline them, if they understand who you are, they are, they don't like the discipline, but they know who their mom and dad are. That they know, they may not understand it in the moment, that that's being done out of love and correction and all those things. But when but in those moments, they know who their parents are, and there's some of that trust. And we have that obviously even more in this scenario, in this reality of prayer and confession. Like, look, he can be trusted. He already knows all the stuff we did, so that confession isn't for him. That's for us. That's for that detoxifying, right? I don't know if you've ever been in those moments where you've just finally cut loose and you're with God, and it's just all comes out, and it's, you know, what they call it. Maybe it doesn't. No, not everybody has to get here, but for me, you get to that ugly crying. You know, I mean, it's ugly, and I don't do that usually around anybody else. But that place of absolutely stripping away, that there's no more facade, there's no more excuses, there's no more justification for my action. It's just that raw place between me and my Father God. And I can go there because I know who he is. He has proven himself, and we see this, I think we've seen this in these verses that we just read this morning, over and over and over and over again, the faithfulness, the steadfast love. I love that's how Daniel starts out this, your steadfast love. Your steadfast love, that's overarching. If you know that you're loved, you won't like the discipline, but you'll accept it and enter into it because you know it's because Father loves us. He loves you more than you or I will ever understand or comprehend. maybe there's not some big things in your life this week that you need to spend time confessing to Father about. But I pray as you think about this and as Father continues to speak to you the rest of today and this week and however long, that you understand this reality that we get to exist in, that we get to live in, that we can be raw and honest before a loving Father and just get it all out. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this moment in time and being able to read this prayer that Daniel had to you. When he's sitting in some pretty intense situations, we didn't even talk about the circumstances and the things that were going on around his life when he prayed this prayer, where he was physically and where he was as a nation. And that's important to understand all that, but Father, we get to see this snippet, this little moment. And it's such a beautiful example of how we can pray and we can confess and how we can enter into this time with you that's just absolutely raw with no filters. And know, Father, that you're a big enough God to handle whatever that looks like, sounds like. Father, I'm beyond grateful for that reality because you and I have had those conversations over and over and over. And I know I can continue to push into that. That you're not going to move. I'm going to change. Because of your immovable who you are. So, Father, this morning as we leave here, may you continue to speak. May you continue to move. May you continue, Holy Spirit, to convict those things in our life that we need to surrender, that we need to let go of, that we need to confess, that we need to detoxify, that we need to just lay at the foot of the cross. Because they're already covered. But may we drop the weight. Step into the freedom that you've called us to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.
She's going to play bass.
Love that anyone could ever know.
Father God, I thank you for these little ones up here on the platform. Father, may they never lose their wonder. May they never lose their dancing in front of their Father. Father, just speak to us as only you can today, this week. May you carve out those areas that need to be carved out, and may we be willing to surrender them for your good. For the good that you want to give us, for the good that you want to restore to us, for the life you want to give us to live before you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.